Well, amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see y'all this evening. Man, what a blessing to be in the Lord's house. And, you know, I'm wearing one of those willy worms tonight. Did you notice? And I was asked to wear this. It's a microphone. How wild is that? So as I saw it, I thought, that looks like a Marco microphone. You know, real feminine and real decorative. And that looks like something that she would wear. Margot Mike. And man, it's good to see y'all. Moving on. Boy, it's good to see y'all tonight. What a blessing. You know, man alive, you know, you always know when God is doing something or going to do something. Because man alive, the spiritual warfare. Satan is not happy. And I tell you what, Sunday was just an awesome blessing to me because we have a God who hears and answers prayer. And when we pray specifically, God moves specifically. And man, it was just so wonderful to see in the early service and the latter service, just so many couples come forward and grab this marriage covenant. And I've signed several. Roxanne and I have received some pictures from some folks, you know, that hung it on their wall. And some of them, I'm like, where'd she get that frame? You know, I mean, just and just wow. Praise God. You know, man alive, Satan does not like, I'm telling you, he does not like marriage. He does not like the home. He doesn't want it to stay together, and the church must fight for it to do so. Amen. We must. Thomas, that was awesome, man. Very timely. Exactly leads into exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight. But before we do, man, I'm so excited. Shannon, would you share some good news with us? We were able to do a funeral together today, and man, Shannon did so good. I was so proud of him getting up in front of people. Now, you know he can talk. I was awfully nervous because he and I had a plan, a schedule, and it was a tight one. So we had a funeral at 1, and then I had another funeral at 2. And so Shannon gets up, and he says, well, I'm going to change your plan a little bit, I thought. We can't change the plan. And but he did so well. And I think there were about 6 or 7 souls that came to know Christ in that funeral. The lady that passed away, her husband got saved. Her son came to know Christ. And man, it was just glorious, wasn't it, Shannon? And then I went over to another funeral, you know, knowing in my mind, thinking in my mind, praying specifically for 2 young people that I just don't think know Christ. I mean, I'm just so burdened for their soul. And go over and speak and preach, and no one came to Christ. And you could see just a, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but just a darkness on the face, just a coldness. Like I'm home, but I'm not home. You know, as Romans 8:32 says, the spirit in you bears witness with the spirit in me, right? Yeah. Like you ever meet somebody, you never met them before, and you just know they're your brother and sister in Christ. Like there is no way around it. Before I even ask you, I know you already know Christ. The spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that they know the Lord. And I'm just telling you, man, to be in that funeral home and just look at the darkness on their faces and the coldness of the heart. Man alive, it's just moving. And I don't know if you know Mr. Zimmerman. He used to be a principal up here at one of the elementary schools. Mr. Zimmerman now works over at the Okies here in Vinton. He is a fine Christian man. Fine Christian man. Knows the Lord, loves the Lord, walks with the Lord. And we just did a lot of talking. But I leaned over and I asked him a question. I said, why are you guys hiring so many people that don't know Christ? And you're ministering to families and it's so dark. I mean, Mr. Zimmerman, you know Christ and man, you just shed the light of Jesus everywhere you go. And I'm glad you're here. But man, look at these folks. And I just got to, I don't know, the Lord just really drew my attention to that today. And thinking about how you opened, Thomas, and the need for salvation to go out. Amen. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Living out your salvation. So Shannon has an exciting announcement for us. And then here's what we're going to do. I want you to just very quickly. Now, this isn't a testimony. This isn't a paper or an essay. But I just want you to share with us, what is God doing in your life? Anybody. So, Shannon, I'll give you a moment to think about it.
I've been texting back and forth with Mike. I had to leave and go back to work, but I've been texting back and forth with him all evening.
So, Mike is the gentleman that lost his wife. We did the funeral today, and he came to know Christ, just so you know.
And Mike is a super nice guy, you know. He's one of the tree guys, and I've loved on him for years and brought him to church a time or two, but he's always just fidgety, and he's had a rough time with his wife. But I ain't read everything, but a couple things he said. Haven't felt like I belonged anywhere for a long time, and that chain has broke today.
Wow.
I never really felt, just when I said, I'm definitely your friend and will do anything to help you. Anyway, and he said, thank you. And he said, I never really felt that I belonged anywhere until now.
Wow.
But, that's a grown man, that I'm around every day. I feel like a chain was broke sitting right here today that, God is moving.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I'm
so thankful. Amen. How many of you want others to have what you have? Do you ever look at people and just think, if they only knew? You wouldn't sit there and turn this away. You wouldn't sit there and resist what I'm telling you. You would come running, So much. I want you to experience Jesus. Oh, man. Thank you for sharing that, brother. Anybody else? What is the Lord done or doing in your life? Yeah, brother.
Friday, I have a month sober, so.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
I thought he was going to say, my son was with me tonight and encouraged. His son got saved, right? And that's a prayer. He just told me his son's here next door.
And by the way, most young people avoid the pastor. Your son waited for me Sunday to shake my hand. I was moved by that. I was moved by it. You can see God working. Amen. God is so good. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that testimony. Oh, God is so good. Jesus breaks those chains, man. Amen. Anybody else have a praise? What God's doing? Yeah, Brother Greg.
So a couple weeks ago, Wednesday night, I met with you and we got some of the Book of John and handed them out at work. And,
wow.
We get the thing in the morning, the devotion. Shannon says out, and I forwarded it to one of the guys. He saw it and wanted me to say, hey, I said, I can't put you on the list where you get it directly, but I'll be glad to forward it to you. So I did. Well, he went somewhere, I don't know if it was in Daleville or what, he lives over that way, and he found there's a bracelet that you can get that will send you a verse every day. I've never seen it, but
wow.
He went and did that on his own. He saw it and went and got one, so now he's not getting the one that we send here, but he's getting it on his own.
Wow.
And he didn't say anything, but one of the other guys said, man, you're working on him. And I said, what are you talking about? I ain't said nothing. I ain't seen him. I've been out sick. I ain't seen him. And he's like, oh, no. He stopped drinking, 100% cold, just stopped. And then I'm like, okay. And he says, but
wow.
He got his mouth. And I said, I'm working on that. And so I don't like that. That's all right. And, but he told me. And so these are the three I was telling you about. That have boys that they would like to try to get their schedules changed, so they work Sundays, they can't make service, and they want to come. I said, well, can you come Wednesday? And they're like, no, we're here till 8:00. We can't get there.
Wow.
So just one more thing.
Amen.
Just a little thing.
Amen.
Seed and
wow.
There you go.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Living out your salvation. Praise the Lord. Anybody else have a praise? Yeah, brother.
I know some time back I said that my daughter, I was struggling with my drug addiction. A couple of years now, Shannon invited me to come to church, and I came, and the devil didn't like that, boy. So he attacked and he came after me and I struggled and failed and got back up and kept coming back. Mm. But I had shared with you guys that my daughter had said she wanted a new dad.
Oh.
So, and I always thought, you know, well, maybe she'd be better off if she did have, you know, a different dad.
Oh.
But now she does. But it's just the same dad. So it's the new and blue. And here recently I took a job out of town, working out of town, and she had just moved in with me to be close to college. And she didn't like that either. I was gone for 2 weeks. They wanted me to come back for 3 days and be gone for two more weeks. And so I came in the other day and you asked me how the job was going. And I said, it ain't. I don't like it. I quit. And he said, yes.
Amen. Amen.
And I've already got another job since I got back.
Ah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what he does when he's first. Thank you for sharing that, Melvin. What a blessing. Brother Danny.
I've been in prayer a lot about, we've talked about some of it, like a place to serve or, a place to serve. Just show me something to try to serve.
Mm.
And then, like, this opportunity to serve came that I never would have, like, looked at or thought I could be helpful in. But I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to say no. So I don't know how prepared I am for it, but we'll see. But anyway,
wow.
That
praise the Lord.
Odd, because I wasn't thinking, you know, oh, I can shake hands. We talked about that. I surely can talk to people. And, yeah, that'll work. I'll greet people at the door. And
yeah.
Another thing came in. I'm like, what? But prayerfully, we'll get there.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love it. I love it. You're going to do great things. God's going to use you. Tamara.
Where God has me planted currently at work, I'm able to see and talk to a lot of people. And I was actually blessed to have a lady who had come in with some, you know, health. Her husband was having some health issues and she was really struggling. I've prayed with her a couple of times openly in the lobby, and she came back just the other day and said, I really need some more prayer. Do you think you could muster another one up?
Wow. Amen.
But, you know, God has this plan where he can use us.
Yes.
To be used.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, Beth.
I want to share something about the school. And part of it is because Greg came by and you saw our roundup.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, yep. Tasha is there. And how our kids are just, we have like a mini chapel every day, every single day. And how they're wanting to pray. And they get up there and they pray. And they say the Ten Commandments. And they say, I mean, they say their Bible verses. What?
Fruits
they know the fruits of the
Spirit,
and they talk about how that works in their heart. I mean, these kids are very open. I mean, I think Greg was going,
yes.
I watched you.
Yeah.
I watched you. Going,
and they prayed for me, which I was like, whoa.
And
they
are
quiet at heart. I'm like, whoa,
they
knew I was there.
Yeah.
I didn't
stay
away.
Those little hearts are
precious.
They are, well, you've come over, so you know, but they are praying little warriors.
I want to add to that. One of my kids actually said they were saved one day they came into school. They were super excited about it.
Wow.
And they said, I got saved. And I was like, that is the best thing you could have said out of your mouth. So it was
And he's
awesome.
A kindergarten kid.
Yeah.
Okay?
Wow.
So there's some movement going.
Yeah.
We know that.
That's cool. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Well, anybody else itching real quick? We're going to dive in. Well, we got to let Brother Johnny share.
I met with a stockbroker that I'm acquainted with today about how we can raise more money for the school. And he's willing to come speak and give us a lot of pointers on how we can get more money into the school.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise God. I'd love to meet with him. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen.
God is being glorified right now with all of what you are.
Amen. Amen. He is. My goodness. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 12 to 13, and let me just plug something. Brother Brian, would you share with us in a nutshell, what is God doing in the men's ministry?
Wow, it's, I was just thinking about that. I was going to raise my hand, but got this brother in there with us.
Amen.
Man, got, I'm just going to say some names. I don't know if he's in here. He had a surgery. His whole eye's cut. Brother Nathan, and, you know, they come in and they're emotional, and the Holy Spirit gets them, man. Right, Greg? You know, I don't count, but there's more than there used to be. And but last night in particular, I had a lot on my mind last night, and it's nothing like being in the Word.
Yeah, amen.
When you're feeling heavy. There's a gentleman, I don't know his name. He sits. The gentleman sits beside me that cut loose last night.
Yeah, he was.
The Holy Spirit, you hear?
He was, wasn't he?
There he is.
Mr. Payne.
Mr. Payne.
Well, I bet.
I don't know your name. I know now. I'm going to tell you what. I was, all of us appreciated you last night.
Amen.
Man,
amen.
He busted loose. A hollering scripture out there was just beautiful.
Amen.
And
amen.
So anyways, if you get free one night on a Tuesday night, come by and
amen.
We guarantee a good meal, but there's it's hey, just follow the pastor. We just extend him what he's preaching, and it's good stuff.
Would you? Tuesday night's a buzz around here anymore.
Oh, amen, amen.
But it's a good country.
Amen, amen.
He's up on 24. He don't come down that hill.
Hey, there's nearly 40 women in here last night. Nearly 30 women here yesterday morning. That didn't sound like bragging about Jesus to me. I don't know. I think we're getting off track. I just told James in the back, Brother Brian, tonight when he walked in, I said, man, I can't wait for everybody in the church to meet you. Well, all of you just did. So, no, James is a blessing. I'm telling you, there's a lot of awesome people that come here. Get to know them. Get to know each other. Man, get here early. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Let's dive on into this. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you've always obeyed. Man, wouldn't that be great? Come on now. As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now watch this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, I've often heard many times, and my life has been this way as well, many years ago, praise God. I pray it's never this way again. But I've seen so many times Christian people describe their journey with the Lord as being up and down and in and out, almost like an ocean wave. And, you know, I'm hot one moment, I'm cold the next, and I just can't stick it. You know, salvation consists really of an outward work. But it's also an inward work, you know? I mean, there's something that starts on the inside, just like Michael shared with you today, Shannon. I feel something different. I mean, it's a work that takes place on the inside that manifests itself to the outside. I mean, stop and think about this. If you are here tonight, as John chapter 6 and verse 34 says, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is Him who sought you and called you unto Himself. Don't sit here for a moment and convince yourself that you're the one that sought the Lord. Oh, no. He sought you. That's what the Bible says. He came after you, right? And he saved you. The Holy Spirit was working on you. And ever since the day you've come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that someone, the Holy Spirit of God, has been working in your heart and in your life. You see, our salvation consists of something to realize mentally, but something to live out daily. Amen. We're to live out our salvation. Too many people just settle. Here's what I want to talk about tonight. They just settle with the idea of salvation and maybe the promise of going to heaven, and they think that that's what it consists of. Let me just tell you, salvation is not just going to heaven. It's a whole lot more than that. Salvation's what gets you in, right? Jesus is what gets you in. That's where you start, but you don't settle down there and quit. No, no, no. You grow in Christ. You know, salvation is also the means as to how we're going to go to heaven. And this aspect of salvation, here's the problem, has never been made a reality in many people's lives. In other words, they claim to know Christ through salvation, but there's no work. There's no change. There's no going deeper. They're okay to come with and hear a Sunday morning sermon and not meet with God the rest of the week. They're okay not to open up their Bible. They're okay to figure it out on their own. They're okay with a dead prayer life unless something happens. In other words, God's kind of like the spare tire of your car. You don't know that you got one until you need it, right? And then when you need it, you're like, oh, God, I need you, you know? That's not the salvation God wants for us. For too many people, salvation is knowing that God has saved them, and that's it. Let me just tell you, this aspect of salvation has never been realized in a whole lot of people's lives. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a rich individual, not because you've been saved, born again, and your sins are forgiven. That's a part of it. But you become a rich individual because now the riches of Christ are your riches. And now it just opens up a floodgate of allowing God to work in your life and do what it is that He has dreamed over you and what He's prayed over you. And He wants so many things to come true in your life. Let me just say this. Paul described salvation tonight in these two verses in a nutshell, and I want you to see it. Let's break down these two verses. Number one, let's see the gift of salvation. Romans 6:23, for example, calls salvation a gift. It is a gift. Look at verse 12. Paul says, work out your own salvation. I'm not working out Brother Thomas's salvation. I'm not working out Brother Brian's salvation. I'm working out my salvation. Now, what does that even mean? To understand what he's talking about, let me just begin by first considering what he's not saying. All right? What he's not saying. Letter A, he speaks of a salvation that is provided. A salvation that is provided. Paul is by no means he's not suggesting that salvation is something you've got to work for. When he says work it out, that's not what he is saying at all. If you back up to verses 6 to 8, he clearly says in verses 6 to 8 that salvation has been provided by Jesus Christ. Look at verses 6 to 8. Don't you love these verses? Who being in the form of God, Paul's talking here about Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But look at what Jesus did here for you and I. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man. Imagine the Son of God doing this. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, Jesus had taken upon himself the form of a man. Why did he do that? That he might die for man. That's why he did it. Jesus had gone to the cross. He purchased salvation for all men. Why? That he might provide salvation for all men. I could stand here today at the funeral and say, salvation is yours if you want it. Jesus will save you. It's for all men, all people. Paul made it very clear that salvation is not what man will do or has done. It's what Jesus has done. Salvation is what Jesus has accomplished for you and me. Amen. So look, salvation is not something you achieve. It's someone that you receive. Amen. That's the difference, and you've got to get that down. Look, it's not gotten, it's given. Now, if you don't know these two verses, I encourage you to jot it down. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. A lot of times when I witness to someone, they want to talk about their works. They want to talk about being a good person. Hey, I go to church. I do this. I do that. I've been baptized. And they cannot point to the one person. Let me tell you, if you ask someone, if you were to die and go to heaven, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? And they say yes, and you follow that up by asking them, well, how do you know? And they say anything else but Jesus, it's the wrong answer. It's Jesus alone. It's not your works. It's not my works. It's his work. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this, for by grace you are saved through faith. Watch this. And that not of yourselves. It's not you. It's the gift of God. And he goes on in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, think about how prideful it is to think that any of your good works can get you to heaven. That would almost be like, let's just say, Brother Brian gets a promotion at work. And Brian comes up to me and he says, you know, Pastor, I really love you. I love you. And you know what? I'm going to buy you a brand new car. Oh, well, okay. And he comes, buys me a brand new car, delivers it to my house. And I say, look, Brian, I just can't take this from you, man. I just don't feel like I can do it. Let me pay you something, okay? Look. I got a quarter, Brian. Let me just give you something. And I give Brian a quarter for the car, and he gives me the car. And I go walking around, and I tell everybody, you know what? Brian and I bought this car. That's about like you and I thinking that our works has anything to do with our salvation. I believe it is such a prideful way of thinking. It's not your works. It's not my works. And the next time the devil comes to you and tries to get you to think that you are unsaved, he always sells that lie based on your works and my works. Don't even go there. It's a prideful way of thinking. A lifetime of good works isn't going to save anybody. I mean, if you and I could conjure up all of our good works in this room and credit all of those good works to Shannon, he still wouldn't be saved. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. Salvation is God's gift, and it's an effect, not an effort. Come on now. It's what he does. Let me just say, I remember reading about Franklin Graham, as you know, son of Billy Graham. He spoke at Baylor in Chattanooga. The next day, the headlines in the Chattanooga Times read this, and I quote, "Evangelist Franklin Graham went too far, students say. Franklin Graham's fire and brimstone chapel talk this week has some Baylor students pretty fired up." The article went on to say that 250 Baylor students signed a petition protesting the 20-minute message by Franklin Graham. One student said that he thought Graham went way too far when he told students that anyone who did not accept Christ as his personal Savior was condemned to hell. Let me tell you something, I'd be disappointed in Franklin Graham if he said anything other than that. And guess what? It's not Franklin Graham saying it. It's God saying it. God's already declared this. There can be and there will be no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a person is condemned to hell if Christ is not their Savior. But you and I know it. Salvation cannot be achieved by anything that we do. You know what? It's got to be received through receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. But it's only going to be through Christ. There's no other way. Salvation is provided. It is a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, again, for by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. Look at this. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. And so letter B here, he speaks of a salvation that is personal. A salvation that's personal. Notice what he says here. Your own salvation. Aren't you thankful? Your own salvation. I am so grateful for that. You see, he's speaking of a salvation that's not only provided, but a salvation that's personal. It's personal. It is your salvation, your experience. Listen to me now. Let me just lay this out for you. All right. It's exciting to hear your testimony tonight, brother. It's exciting to hear Michael text that to Shannon. Yeah, that's exciting. And we could go around the room and all of us could have our own salvation experiences, our own experiences about what God is doing through us in the lives of other people, maybe, you know. But the worst thing you could do is to go around piggybacking off of somebody else's testimony and sharing somebody else's story with everybody else when God wants you to have your own. Amen? I mean, to go around and say God is so good because everybody at church is saying he is. You know, he's good. And not to know that yourself. Not to experience that yourself. These words, your salvation, man, it's so awesome. Because Paul is saying here, God wants to commit himself to you. That's so good. Himself. Kind of like what David said in Psalm 23. What did David say? The Lord is. David is saying he's leading me. He's working in my life. He's my shepherd. Can you say that? Can you say tonight alongside of David, the Lord is my shepherd? Is he leading your life? Hey, look, there's no greater life than the life that's being led by the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
No greater life. But let me just tell you something. He's also declaring salvation. In that statement, David is saying salvation's a personal matter. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. Salvation may be provided, but dear friend, it is personal. Until one hears the knock of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit of the living God opens up their eyes, removes those scales that's blinding them, and calls them unto himself, a person cannot be saved. Brother Brian brought up a great question yesterday. He kind of to the point of, do you believe in election? I grew up in a Baptist church and I didn't believe in election. I didn't believe in election. In other words, God comes and chooses you. And we're not going to get into it tonight. I can explain election. All right. I think I can. But we're not going to get into it. But you know what? You can't read your Bible and not believe in election because it shows us over and over and over and over and over and over and over again that God has chosen you before the foundation of the earth. And it's not that God doesn't want all men to be saved. Here's the explanation of election real quick. It's just God in his foreknowledge already knows who's going to come and be saved and those who are not. He desires all men to be saved, but God already knows not all men are going to be saved. And so you know what some people do? They just say, well, you know what? God knows who's going to be saved. And if God wants a man to be saved, then let God save him. That's not the heart. That's not the position of a Christ follower. No, no, no. You and I are to go after the lost. Let our salvation and walk with God grow in us, that it might shine through us. Amen. So number one, the gift of salvation. Isn't it glorious? How many of you here tonight, you've been saved, you've been born again from above, and God is working in your life? Isn't it the sweetest thing ever? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? So we see salvation is a gift, but number two, the goal of salvation. The goal of salvation, Paul tells us here in verse 12, work out your own salvation. He's talking about here the goal of salvation. He's describing something. He is, you know, that we who are saved, he's telling us there's something to strive for. There's something to obtain. Let me say it this way. There's something God wants you to do. If God has called you to himself to be saved and born again from above, let me just tell you, these two words work out is a verb. It's an action verb. It means to thoroughly develop. It means to work to full completion. None of us are there yet. Amen. God is doing a work. We've not arrived. It's not a matter of working for something, but a working out of what we already have. Does that make sense? We're not working for what we have. We already have it. The word was used in a couple of ways. These two words work out. And I want you to see how these two words were used. Letter A, the believer is to experience, and I love this, let me explain it, a full Christian life. You know, the word was used, the words work out in the Greek carry the idea of a miner going to a mine with all of his equipment and all of his men. And the riches are inside the mine. But standing on the outside and looking at it is not going to do you any good. All right. You see, the miner before him is a tremendous source of wealth. But he's got to work the mine. He's got to do his part. I mean, just because he's there, the mine's not going to zip itself open and pour out its treasures. No, no, no. And I think the Greek word there is very powerful. In other words, yes, God, if you know him, if you've been saved and born again from above, he's committed himself to you. But you, like a miner, must walk with God. Seek after God, read the word of God, become a person of prayer, get in the house of God. You see, that's how we work the mind. Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, this is working out your salvation. Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, let me say this. In Ephesians 1, 3, when Paul said all spiritual blessings, literally means all of the ways that the Holy Spirit of God can bless you. Paul is declaring that the blessings of the Spirit of God, they're all yours. They're all mine. They're ready for the taking. To put it another way, we have entered into a salvation that is a mine full of gold. Come on now. I mean, there are a veritable plethora of riches available to us because we know Christ. It's ours to enjoy. It's ours to experience. How many of you have read a portion of the Bible and you think you kind of know it, and maybe the Holy Spirit one day lays it upon your heart to go back and read it, and you go back and reread what you think you already know, and the Holy Spirit of God opens up some more new truth to you. And you think, I thought I knew that. Like someone has so well said, the Word of God is so deep that scholars can swim around in it and never touch bottom, but so shallow that a child can come and drink without fear of drowning. The Word of God, as you know, is so rich. It's so rich. I mean, look, we did two funerals today. And I'm just telling you, before the funeral, I thought this. I thought, God, if I didn't have your Word, I couldn't do this. What would I say? And I wrote down a quick question from that thought, and I actually asked both groups of people today that question. Where are you going to turn in times like this? You only got two options. You can listen to the world and its theology and its way of thinking, or you can listen to the Word of God. The world's going to leave you empty. There's no hope in that. But oh, there's hope in the Word of the living God, the creator and sustainer of life. Let me say this. Jesus has given us a spiritual mind. It's in front of you. It's in front of me. Some of you are working it. Amen. You're digging. Man, you're faithful. God is moving. God is working. But you know what's so sad with so many believers is they may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they never go any deeper than that. Do you know that? In other words, they never obtain what it is that God wants to give to them. Let me give you a biblical example, and then I want to give you a practical worldly example, human example. Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, biblical example, we see Joshua, we see Caleb, and we see 11 other men. One man from every tribe of Israel is called out by God, and God calls him by name. So you think about all these millions of people, and God calls one man out of every tribe, tells Moses what his name is, and says, Moses, you call these men to yourself. These men have a mission. So don't tell me God doesn't know who you are. He knows very well who you are. He knows you by name. In verse 16, Moses calls Joshua in addition to the 12 men. Moses calls a man by the name of Joshua. Now, let me just tell you this. They are to go and spy out a land, the promised land, that's already theirs. Are you with me? I mean, it's their land. God's already committed himself to these people. This is yours. 11 other men came back in Numbers chapter 13, verse 27. Here's what they said after spying out the land. The land flows with milk and honey, and it is fruitful. Verse 28, nevertheless. That's not good. That's not good. It's getting ready to turn bad. Nevertheless, here's what they said. The people are strong. The cities are well protected. The descendants of the Anak is there. The giants are there. And listen to what they went on to say. We felt like grasshoppers in our own sight. That's how small we felt. And here's what they concluded. Let's select another leader and go back to Egypt. You know what? That really blessed me. I needed that this week. Because you know what? If people complain against Moses, what do I think they're going to do against me? You know, I'm not Moses. Man, I'm nowhere close to Moses. Come on now. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Thank you. And you know what? These folks have watched Moses do. I mean, God worked through him in so many incredible ways. And now they're complaining against him. But let me tell you, in the midst of this scene, two men step forward. Two men out of the 13. Two of the 13 step forward, one by the name of Joshua, the other one by the name of Caleb. And in verse 30 of Numbers 13, you got to hear what they had to say. Let us go at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Come on now. How could they say that? Why could they say that? I mean, you're 2 against 11. You know why? Because they had been digging at the mine. They had been walking with a God, with God at a depth that the other 11 had not seen, had not known, and had not experienced. And they're walking with God at a depth. And you know what? When God says that land is yours, you go and possess it. Let me tell you something. Joshua and Caleb, they looked at the Anak and they said, he's going down. They looked at all the warriors. They're coming down. They saw the walls and the heavy guarded city and they saw it all. And they said, it's all going to fall. All of this is ours. Our God is getting ready to do this. The other 11 didn't see that. They saw how big the giants were. They saw how hard it was to break away from the alcohol. And it put them in chains. Two men said, God's bigger than all this. 11 said, I feel so small. What's the difference? working the gold mine, experiencing the riches of Christ, seeking God, walking with God. And you know what's going to happen as you work the gold mine, as you work out your salvation? Your faith is going to grow. You're going to see more of who God is, what God can do. Let me give you a life example. 1916. You ever heard the name Hattie Green? You ever heard her name? Just wondering. Hattie's life is a sad demonstration and well represents how many Christians live their life. You see, when Hattie died, her estate in 1916 was valued at over $100 million. And yet Hattie Green lived in abject poverty. Let me give you a couple examples. She ate cold oatmeal because it cost too much money to heat it up. That's disgusting. I'm not eating cold oatmeal. No. I'll let it sit there and at least get room temperature. I can't eat that. All right. When her son's leg became infected, and you know what? The doctor said, we've got to do surgery. We've got to operate on your son. He's going to lose his leg. Well, you know what? She pleaded with the doctor. She said, well, do the surgery for free then. If it's that urgent, do it for free. And they said, we can't do this for free. Do you know how intensive this is? Come on, Hattie. He needs surgery now. Back and forth, back and forth. The days went on, the weeks went on. Finally, the doctor said, your son is going to die. Guess what? She waited so long, they could have saved his leg, but they ended up having to amputate it because she kept waiting for the doctors to cave in and do the surgery for free. Hattie died. When she died, I'll get to the end of her life, she was arguing at her death over the value of drinking skim milk because you know what? It was less expensive than whole milk. She was a millionaire, living like a pauper. How many Christians live like that? All the riches that Christ desires to bestow upon us, if we'd only learn to ask, if we'd only learn to seek Him, oh, what God can do. Paul is writing these words because he wants believers to wake up. He wants the church to say, man, you've got a God that's far bigger than how you're living, far greater than how you're operating. He wants to do far more than what He's doing. You got to work out your own salvation. Does that make sense? Not work for your salvation, but you got to work it out. You got to dig that gold mine because there's things God wants to do in the life of the Philippian church that He's not doing yet. So you got to keep digging. You got to keep praying. You got to keep seeking. Letter B, notice this, the believer is to experience a fruitful Christian life. You know, the verb work out here was also, the second example in the Word of God, was also used with when a farmer would work a field. The farmer would plow the field. The farmer would cultivate the field so that it would produce the finest of harvest. You know what? Our life is like a field. Paul could be saying this. I believe he is. That we're to be fruitful. We're to be productive as the people of God. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 16. If you take a note, you can jot that down. Here's a great one. He said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. Did you write that verse down?
What was that again?
Yeah, I know, man. That's a good one, isn't it? What a promise. John 15, verse 16. Jot that one down. John 15, verse 16. Whatever you ask the Father, that He may give it to you. Let me give you another one. Matthew 7, 7 is one of my favorites. It says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it'll be open. Now, let me just say this. We are chosen. We are commissioned. And we are commanded, you and I, as the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go and bear much fruit. Amen? We are to be fields that are bearing a rich harvest. I got to confess to you, I didn't do so well last year in harvesting figs. My wife and I, we didn't get a fig one at our house. You know why? Because we didn't plant any fig bushes. They don't grow on thorn bushes, and I got a whole lot of those. You go out and look at a thorn bush all day long, you look at it all year long, you're not going to find a fig one on it. And you know what? We didn't harvest any figs because we didn't sow any. We didn't plant any. Come the fall, my wife and I, we were walking into Lowe's over in Bonsack. Here's two fig bushes. And we bought them, put them in the ground. Who knows what's going to happen? But let me just tell you this. You cannot harvest what you don't plant. Come on now. If you don't sow good things into your life, you're never going to reap good things. You know, if you're not sowing the thoughts of the Word of God, the thoughts of God into your life, you're never going to live for God. If you're going to harvest anything, you got to sow those seeds. You got to plant those seeds. If we're going to take the lost to heaven with us, we've got to sow seeds of the gospel. There are so many hurting, broken people. Look at me, folks. I promise you, I've been in Vinton all over Vinton today. There are lost, hurting, broken people all over this little town. And they need Jesus Christ. They need an invitation to come to church. They need someone to love on them. They need someone to be interested. Get their name. Call them by their name. Invite them to church. Love on them. Many a Christian life is so barren. There's not an abundant harvest. Predominantly, people that are going to church aren't winning others to Christ. They're not even talking about Christ. Come on, let's be real and honest for a moment. Most people think they've done well just looking at someone and saying, have a blessed day. I just shared with you Sunday. No one's going to be blessed of God until they know God and live in obedience to God and live out what it is that God wants them to do. And so if we really want them to be blessed, well, we've got to tell them who Jesus is. The idea behind the words, your own salvation. You know what Paul means here is God has a plan for Raquel. God has a plan for Bob. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And let me tell you something. I can't go and do what God's called you to do. I can't do it. He's gifted you to do it. He's wired you to do it. He's called you to do it. We're going to talk about this in a moment. But notice that Paul said in verse 12 that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Do you see that? The words do not speak of someone who's terrified, someone who's scared, someone who's fearful of God. No. The words fear and trembling bring back something we greatly need today. Fear and trembling speaks of a reverence of God. It speaks of a passion to want to please Him. I preached, as I've told you already, a funeral today. And on the second row, right in front of me through the entire service, two girls who are dating each other were loving on each other through the entire service. And I want to assure you, I didn't feel disrespected. But I felt like my Lord was disrespected. And I just thought of these words, fear and trembling, like, and I looked at the audience and I said, let me tell you something. Every single one of us, we are going to stand before the Lord. We are going to give an account. One day, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess the Lord Jesus to the glory of God the Father. Every single one of us. To do it now means salvation. to do it after you die means an eternity in hell. Oh, dear friend, how we need reverence to come back. You know, what we shouldn't take lightly, the Lord Jesus Christ, we shouldn't take lightly these treasures that are awaiting us. We shouldn't take it lightly. Let me just say it this way. Any man who allows the busyness of life to steal away his time in prayer truly is a treacherous thief stealing from himself. I'm learning that more and more. I sat in my office today thinking to myself, oh God, what you want to do? But I just haven't asked you. You want to do it. You're ready to do it. I haven't asked. Oh God, what is that? What is it that you want to do? What is it that your will is, God? Let me give you number three here. We see the gift of salvation, the goal of salvation. Number three, the God of salvation. Look at verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I just told my wife today. I don't know what it was. Yesterday, as I was praying for her, I knew God was going to show up here yesterday evening. And he did. And he moved and he worked. I could feel. I knew he was going to do it. And I looked at my wife and I said, I didn't for a moment believe God was going to do great things because of you. I knew he was going to do great things through you because of him. That's what Paul is saying here. For it is God who works in you. Man, I don't ever want to get up here and wedge from my own well. I don't ever want to get up here and just tell you my thoughts. It's got to be led by the Holy Spirit of the living God. It's got to be God who is delivering that message. God who is working. Look at this. It is God who works in you, both to will and do his good pleasure. We were to work out our salvation. But notice, now Paul is telling us that it is God who is working in us. You know, there's a human responsibility. We've got our Mac, our pick. We've got our shovels. We're ready to dig the mine. The mine is the Lord's. But we've got to pick up the tools that we have, and we've got to start using them. Amen? You see, there's a lesson here. We've got to learn. Every Christian's got to learn this. God wants to work through us. God wants to work with us. God wants to work for us. But before God can work through us, before God can work with us, before God can work by us, before God can work for us, God must first work in us. That's where it starts. Paul tells us that God is working in us to do something, to accomplish his good pleasure. Wow. The word pleasure means his desire for you, his purpose for your life. God is working in us that his desire and purpose for our life will be fulfilled. Amen. That why he created you, what he has in mind for your life, he wants to see it come about. He made you for it. In verse 12, God tells us what he wants for our life. Now in verse 13, he tells us how he's going to bring this work to pass. He mentions two things, and I'll be done, and we're going to spend some time in prayer. He mentions two things that are a result of God working in our life. Letter A, we see the desire for his will. Notice what Paul says here. For it is God who works in you both to will. Both to will. You know the word will here, it means desire. How many of you, when you wake up in the morning, you desire a cup of coffee? Seriously? Man, first time I ever experienced the craze that people have for coffee, like I didn't have that and I didn't understand. It was Roxanne's brother. We were in Mexico in a little village right on the border of McAllen, Texas and Mexico. We literally woke up that morning to drive into Mexico for 13 hours down to way down into Texas on a mission. Her brother woke up and came to me with his eyes like this and he was shaking. I said, brother, you okay? He said, man, I need some coffee. some coffee. He said, brother, look, when we were driving here, there is a convenience store about 3 miles down the road. He said, can we jump in a van right now and you take me down the road? I paused for a second. Oh, watch this. He leaned forward. He said, I'll give you gas money. I wish I'd have paused for another second. You know, how much money? What's it worth to you? You know, I'm the one with the keys. That's desire. Whatever it takes, that's desire. Paul is telling us that God works in us to give us the desire to do His will. Now, let me back up and say this. I loved your testimony earlier. It's God who works in us to remove the desires that we have for the wrong things. We can't do that. I mean, it's a miracle. I've driven by Krispy Kreme donuts. I couldn't tell you how many times now, and I've not had one. Oh, I've cried. Parking lot's always been full. but you know, seriously. And I'm asking God to take that away. I don't want that, you know. It's God that can break away from us the desires we shouldn't have. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that'll give us the desires that we should have. The simple reason why people do not serve God and walk with God is because they don't want to. The desire is not there. I mean, you stop and think about it. Why doesn't a man read the Bible? Why doesn't a man pray? He doesn't have the desire to do it. I mean, we all have 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 365 days in a year, and yet you spend all of that time doing one of two things, that which you have to do and that which you want to do. We got to go to work. We got to eat. We got to go to the bathroom. We got to drink coffee. You know, and I mean, those things that you've got to do, but then in the time that you have free with what you want to do, what are you doing with that time? John Maxwell said, wake up in the morning and steal an hour. Yeah. Oh, Brian, I knew you'd say yes. You steal three every morning. This dude's up at like 4 o'clock every morning. And let me tell you what you do. You get up early. You steal that time. You steal it. You make time. You see, we can come up with any excuse we want to, can't we? But the reason we don't take God seriously is we don't have the desire to do it. We don't have the desire. You see, why is there no desire? If we only knew what God desires to do, what God wants to do, what the Lord would do, if we allowed Him that time, if we would pick up the tools that we have, the Bible, the Word of God, prayer, and we would give the Lord that time. And you know, maybe you sit here tonight and you say, Pastor, I don't have the desire. I don't have the want to. Well, let me tell you something. God will change your want to if you want Him to. Have you asked Him? If you said, God, please teach me how to pray. That takes humility, doesn't it? God, will you show me how to pray? Lord, it's embarrassing. I love you. But God, I don't make time for you. I'm so busy. Lord, I want to. I just don't. God, will you teach me? Will you show me? Give me wisdom. Help me to think about my day. Help me to plan. Help me to organize. God, help me to make you a priority. Show me how to do that. He will. He will. Let me ask you something. Are you struggling over anything God's asked you to do? Why not come to the Lord and just be honest about it? Why not come and just say, God, I confess to you, you've asked me to do something. And I'm not willing to do it. I am not willing to do it. I don't want to do it. I feel you leading me to do it, but God, I don't want to do this. So Lord, you've got to make me willing. Lord, you've got to change my heart and help me to want to do what you're asking me to do. Look at letter B here. So we see the desire for His will. Letter B, we see the doing of His will. You see, God is not only working in us the desire. I mean, think about it. The desire will never come from your poor, old, carnal heart. It'll never come from mine. It'll never come from that old Adamic flesh. That old nature, that flesh, when we walk in the flesh, it has about as much of a desire to seek after God as I do to listen to opera music. Zero. It doesn't desire God. Let's just face it. The old you, the flesh, when you walk in the flesh, it does not desire God. That's why we got to walk in the Spirit and stay connected to the Lord. Look at letter B here. We see the doing of His will. For it is God who works in you both to will, both to give you the desire. Now watch this. And to do His good pleasure. To do His good pleasure. Now, I want to ask you something. How many of you, when you look at your life, you summarize your life in this way? Well, I really don't have any talents. I don't have any kind of speaking ability. I'm really not very outgoing. And you could just go through and use up all of your fingers and toes making excuses as to how small you are in your mind. How many of you would say, I do that? Can I give you some good news? If you raised your hand, you're the exact one that God wants to use. Let me read first. You take a notes, jot this down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. I could not tell you how many times God's called me to do something, and I step out in faith to do it, and I tell God every single time, God, I can't do this. Before the funeral at 1 o'clock, before the funeral at 2 o'clock, before tonight's service, I was in the bathroom, if you want details, at the urinal. I shouldn't have said that. But it is a great time to pray. Moving on. Man alive, I shouldn't have said that. I'm being too honest. But listen to this. I'm just being honest with you. I stood wall to wall, and sometimes I'll put my forehead on the wall. I said, God, I can't do this tonight. God, I don't have what it takes tonight. And I mean it with all my heart. And God knows I do. So God, I need you tonight, Lord. I can't do this. Every single time. And there was a time in my life where I felt like, God, maybe you get tired of me saying that. The Holy Spirit said, don't you ever stop believing that. You stay right there. You can't do this. But I will do this. Let me read you something great. It's one of my favorite verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. When it comes to serving the Lord and the list of excuses that we can tend to make. Watch this. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty. Watch this now. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Do you see that? You're sitting here tonight, you say, man, I just don't know how to do that. I just don't know the Bible that well. I just don't have that kind of wisdom. I just don't. Boy, I'm not very mighty. I'm not very. Now, who am I? Okay, we're on to something. I hope that's how you feel. Because watch this. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Why would God do this? We don't have to guess at it. That no flesh should glory in His presence. I got good news for you. God's calling you to do something and you say, I can't. That's exactly where God wants you. Because you know what? If you could, then there's no way that God could work through you because you would feel like, I've got this. It's a partnership. It'll never be you doing it. It'll never be you doing it. It will always be a partnership where it's you and the Lord. And when it's all over, whatever the results are, you give God all the glory because you know you can't do this. That's exactly where God wants us to be at. And let me tell you something, if you're doing something for the Lord and you feel like you can do it, wake up call, you're not doing what God wants you to do. Because I do firmly believe God wants to have you in a place in your life where you are standing at a urinal with your head against the wall and saying, God, I cannot do this. And that's when God will be glorified. You see, there are two great needs in the Christian life. First, there is the desire to do God's will. And secondly, is the ability to do God's will. And let me just say, Paul tells us that God not only creates the desire, but listen to this, God provides the ability. Do you know that? When I was in the third grade, I had a speech impediment. I couldn't say my R's. I couldn't say a lot of different letters. Guess what? When everybody else was in class, I was going to a special class just learning how to say my R's. Instead of saying rig, I would say wig. I couldn't say it. It didn't matter how hard I worked. And isn't it just kind of funny that the boy who had a speech impediment is a boy that God's called to speak publicly? So don't tell me that, look, I can't do this, but I know who can. You see, God chooses the one who can't. Because guess what? You can never point to that person and say, wow, that was a great sermon, or wow, you're doing such a good job. Oh, no, no, no. It's God at work in us. Look, if God calls you to do something, let me tell you something. He will give you the means and the ability to do it. Come on now. It's not you. It's not you doing it. Look, God is not concerned about your lack of ability. That's not His concern at all. Let me give you another something. He's not concerned about your disabilities either. You know what God needs from you and me? He needs our availability. It's not our ability. It's not our disability that we would just say, okay, God. Whew. Whatever you want. You know, I'll tell you something so cool tonight. I don't know why this is on my heart. I think I'd be disobedient if I didn't tell you. But I remember this week very seriously doubting God's call on my life. God, I think I'm the wrong guy. You know, and I know it was spiritual warfare, okay? I know that. I'm just sharing my heart with you. But God took me back last night, my wife and I was at very, very low, you know, the spiritual warfare. Man, his lies sound so believable sometimes. But I went out last night, my wife and I, probably 9:30, we were sitting on a swing in the back. The stars were screaming. I mean, it was a beautiful night. And I sat there with such a heavy heart. Now, let me just explain something to you. I looked up in the sky. I was sitting there praying, God, is this really what you want me to do? And a star fell from the sky. My wife got up and she went into the house. I walked over to the edge of the concrete and I said, God, I looked up into those sky, into that sky, and another star fell from the sky. Now that means nothing to you. But when I was 17 years old, I was down Jordantown Road, and I was driving from Jordantown Road over to Hardy Road, where my mom still lives, about a 12-minute drive. And I was going through the very same thoughts. God was calling me to preach. He had already called me to preach 7 years prior to that. But it was about to get real. Am I going to go off to college? Am I really going to do this? A church had asked me to come and preach, and I'm just struggling. God, is this really what you want me to do? And I prayed a prayer that night. I said, God, if you want me to preach your word, then on the drive home, let me see a fallen star as a sign. And in 12 minutes, I saw 13 fallen stars. Hey, look, I remember it like yesterday. I walked, this is really funny. I walked in the side door and opened up the kitchen door and walked in. And I was so overwhelmed. And I shut the door behind me. And I said, do it again, God. I peeked through the blinds. I'll never forget it. And there went a fallen star. Let me tell you something. It's not you. It's only God. God wants to do something in you. God wants to do something through you. And you know what the reality is? Is this church will never be what this church could be until you and I both get out of the way. Say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And whatever you want me to do, I will submit to you doing that through me. Amen?
Amen.
I will submit for you to do that through me. So you know what, Danny? That might even be sitting on a school board. You never know. You know, church, daggone, I went over. Man, let's close in a word of prayer. We've got some exciting things happening in the life of the church. You've got some things heavy on your heart tonight. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment? And just get quiet right here in this room before we step outside those doors and everything gets loud again. Can you just in this moment, can I guide you through a simple prayer? Can you just say, first of all, God, I love you. Can you tell him that? Lord, I love you. Maybe you want to thank him for your salvation. Thank him for working in your life. Thank him for how he's changing you. Secondly, can you just say, God, I have a heavy burden on my heart. And Lord, you already know what it is. Lord, I surrender that to you tonight. God, for you to work, for you to lead, for you to guide, for your will to be done. And tonight, just before we finish praying, could you say, God, thank you. You've got a work you want to do in me and through me. God, help me to grab the tools, the Word of God in prayer, so that I may be able to experience all of what you want to do. God, change whatever needs to be changed, my schedule. Give me wisdom, maybe to steal an hour. But God, help me to meet with you and be faithful in it. Maybe you want to pray this, God, I can't do this on my own. But Lord, too much time has passed. Oh God, help me to seek you faithfully. Can you pray that? If that's your heart, maybe you want to pray that tonight. Mm. Brother Derek, would you close us in a word of prayer, man?